This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين إن شاء الله. In today's class we are going to study the name of Allah Al-Warith. Al-Warith, the inheritor or the ultimate heir. The name Al-Warith occurs three times in the Quran, and we see that every single time the name is mentioned in the plural form. And when it is said that, for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we are the heirs, when Allah uses the plural form to refer to himself in the Quran, then remember that this plural is actually of royalty, meaning it is to show the greatness of Allah, the Exalted. It does not mean that He is more than one. This is not contrary to His Tawheed, to His oneness. Rather, this is a style of speech, and it shows extreme greatness. So every single time that this name is mentioned in the Quran, it is actually mentioned in the plural form, which shows it adds to the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning, of course, He is already great, but the way that it is expressed makes us realize how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So we see that this name is mentioned three times in the Quran. First of all, we see in Surah Al-Hijr, ayah number 23, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِنَّا لَنَحْنُ نُحْيِي وَنُمِيتُ وَنَحْنُ الْوَارِثُونَ, that indeed we are the ones who give life and we are the ones who cause death, and وَنَحْنُ الْوَارِثُونَ, and we are the ultimate heirs, the ultimate inheritors. Then we learn in Surah Al-Anbiya, ayah number 89, that Zakariya alayhi salam, he made dua to Allah that رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرُدًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ, that, oh my Lord, do not leave me single or alone, meaning grant me a child. Do not leave me alone. And the fact is that you are the best of the heirs, meaning ultimately it is you who owns everything and everything is going to return to you. So you are the ultimate owner of all things. Without your permission, nothing can happen. And without your grant, without your giving someone, nobody can have anything. So all power, all wealth, all resources are with you. So Ya Rab, you grant me an heir. رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْضًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. Then we learn in Surah Al-Qasas, verse number 58, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ بَطِرَتْ مَعِيشَتَهَا فَتِلْكَ مَسَاكِنُهُمْ لَمْ تُسْكَمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا وَكُنَّا نَحْنُ الْوَارِثِينَ. That how many towns, how many people who lived, very arrogantly, who were very proud of their possessions. But what happened? Ultimately, they were removed from the earth. So their homes are here, standing till today, but those homes have not been inhabited by anyone since then, and except very little. وَكُنَّا نَحْنُ الْوَارِثِينَ, and indeed we are the heirs, meaning ultimately all people are going to die and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to inherit the entire world and whatever that is on it, whoever that is on it. So these are the three instances of this name, where this name occurs in the Quran. Now, what is the meaning of the word warith, linguistically speaking? Now, the word warith literally means the one who waritha, meaning the one who inherits. When we're talking about inheritance, generally we think of, someone has passed away, they have died, and they have left their wealth and all of their possessions, And now what's going to happen? Their family is going to inherit, right? Their family is going to be the waris. They're going to be the heirs. So they're going to take what was once someone else's property. So for example, if a man dies leaving behind children, then we say that the children are the heirs, meaning the children will get what was once the property of the father, right? So the word warith is used in, you know, different ways. It gives us different understandings. The first is that warith is the one who remains after another has gone. So as a judge, he said, al-warithu, warith is everyone that is baqin, that remains after someone has gone, all right? And then it has also been said that warith is the one who ultimately receives what was once with the one who has gone, right? It was with them, but now they're gone. So the one who receives that property is who? He is the warith, all right? So warith is an heir, the one who inherits the estate of the deceased, and only the person who remains can actually inherit. So for example, going back to the example of the father, right? The man dies. Let's say he leaves behind two sons, right? Let's say that he actually had three sons, right? However, one son died in his lifetime, right? So the son who died in his lifetime, can that son inherit from him? No, he cannot. Who can inherit from the father? The children who survived the father, the children who outlived the father, the children who remain alive after the father has gone, right? So this is why the word warith doesn't just mean an heir or inheritor. Warith also means the one who survives another, meaning the one who outlives another. The one who continues to remain while another has gone. So for example, in a dua, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allahumma amtirni bi sam'i wa basari waj'alhu al-waritha minni. That, oh Allah, allow me to benefit from my hearing and from my vision and allow them to be my warith. Allow my vision and my hearing to be my heirs. Now, what does that mean? That means that allow my vision and my hearing to remain sound until I die. Meaning, don't let them die before I do. Don't let them expire before I die, right? Let them be perfectly sound until I depart from this world. So basically what we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for here is that, oh Allah, allow my faculties to remain sound until the end of my life. Because we know that in old age, people begin to lose their hearing, people begin to lose their vision, people begin to lose their, you know, memory and things like that, basic functions, right? And that makes living extremely difficult. It makes, everything difficult for a person. So you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here that, Ya Allah, allow my faculties to remain sound until I die. So this is the meaning of the word waris, right? An heir, meaning the one who ultimately receives what was with someone else, and also the one who remains while another has gone, right? The one who outlives and the one who survives others. So when we're talking about Allah Azza wa Jal, that He is al-warith, that He is the heir, what exactly does that mean? This means that first and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the everlasting one, right? That He is al-baqi al-da'im, that He is the eternal one, the one who will remain when all have perished. Why? Because Allah La ilaha illahu al-hayy al-qayyum, right? He is Al-Hayy, he is the ever-living, and he is Al-Qayyum, he is the independent of all, and all depend on him. So Al-Warith, he will live on while everyone else will die. All the creatures will die. They will perish one after another. And so we learn in Surah Ar-Rahman, verse number 26 and 27, that kullu man alayha fan, that all who are upon the earth are going to perish. They're going to die. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, and the face of your Lord shall remain, and your Lord is ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. We also learn in Surah Al-Qasas, verse number 88, that كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَ, that everything is going to perish except his face. Now, notice here that in both of these verses, the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been mentioned specifically, that it will remain. And the purpose of this is to draw our attention to the face of Allah. That you see in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about how we should be seeking His face, right? Meaning our intention, our ultimate goal when we're doing something is to seek the approval of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what we should be seeking, because everything is going to perish, right? If we want the approval of people, people are going to die. If we want fame, that fame is going to be irrelevant when the whole world comes to an end, right? If we want money, all of that money is going to perish. So when we're striving, whether it is little things or big things, whatever it is that we're doing, ultimately our concern should be what? Ibtigha'a wajhillah, to seek the face of Allah. That we want to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want that Allah is pleased with us. So here we are reminded in both of these surahs, Surah Ar-Rahman and Surah Al-Qasas, that everything is going to perish. Everyone is going to perish. All those that we are seeking, that we are running after, are going to come to an end, because this is the nature of the things of this world. This is the nature of the khalq, of the creation, that there was a time when it did not exist. It was brought into existence by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there will be a time when they will cease to exist, when they will come to an end, right? So Allah is the only one who is everlasting. He is Al-Warith, He will remain, while all others are going to die, they're going to come to an end. We learn in a hadith in Sahih Bukhari that the Prophet ﷺ said that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold the earth, and He will wrap the skies, roll up the skies, and He will hold them, you know, in His right. And then He will say, أَنَا الْمَلِكْ, I am the king. أَيْنَ مُلُوكُ الْأَرْضِ, where are the kings of the earth? So everyone is going to finish. And Allah, He is Al-Warith. He is the one who will remain, because He is the everlasting one. So everything is basically heading towards its end, right? It's heading towards its decline. And everything and everyone is going to finish, you know, one day or another, except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all the things of the world and all the people of the earth and all the things that we, hold on to so dearly, they're declining day by day. They're heading towards their end day by day. When it comes to our health, it's going to come to an end, right? When it comes to our life, that is also going to come to an end. When it comes to the people that we love, they are also going to die. When it comes to our own life, that is also going to come to an end. So kullu man alayha fan, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is al-warith, who is the ultimate heir, meaning He will remain while all others will perish. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-warith, this means that He is the ultimate owner of all things. Because who is the warith? The warith is the one who inherits ownership of things, right? So those things belong to someone else. The property belonged to someone else. But then when that someone else died, that property became the property of who? Of the heir, of the warith, right? Now, of course, whatever we have it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to us in the first place. But then remember that ultimately, everything is going to return to Allah. So He is the ultimate owner of all things because all things are going to return to Him. وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرِ To Him is the destination. And the word masir comes so many times in the Quran, right? That to Him is the return. We are going to return to Allah because He is the warith. In Surah Maryam, ayah number 40, we learn, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَرِثُ الْأَرْضَ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا وَإِلَيْنَا يُرْجَعُونَ That indeed, we are the ones who will inherit the earth. And we will also inherit whoever that is on the earth. So everything that's on the earth, whether it is gold or silver or, you know, crypto or whatever, right? Everything will ultimately be with who? It will be with Allah Azza wa Jal. Because we're all temporary owners, right? We're all temporary owners. If we've been given something, ownership of a house, ownership of a car, ownership of a currency, ownership of a company, or a share of a company, whatever kind of ownership we have, that is a temporary ownership. Ultimately, it is going to be with Allah. وَإِلَيْنَا يُرْجَعُونَ And to us, they will all be returned. In Surah Ali Imran, ayah 180, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ And to Allah belongs the heritage of the skies and the earth, meaning the skies and the earth, you know, they will be inherited by Allah. They belong to Allah in the first place. So right now, He has given us these things temporarily. Just like, you know, when you lease a car, for example, right? Or when you rent a house, an apartment, for example, you know that you're not the owner. It has just been given to you temporarily. And just like that, the body that we have, the wealth that we have, the power that we have, you know, the health that we have, everything that we have has been entrusted with us. It has been lent to us. It has been given to us temporarily, right? And ultimately, it's going to be taken away from us and it's going to be with Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Hadid, ayah 10, that وَمَا لَكُمْ أَلَّا تُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ That what is the matter with you? What is wrong with you that you do not spend in the way of Allah? You don't spend for the religion of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah. Why don't you do that? When the fact is that to Allah belongs the inheritance of the skies and the earth. وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Yani, ultimately, it's going to be taken away from you. You only have it for some time. So why don't you spend it in the right place so that you can reap eternal rewards? Do you think that what you have right now is going to be yours forever? That's not the case. It's going to be taken away from you. It's going to ultimately end up with Allah anyway. He has just lent it to you right now so that you can earn some good deeds. You can invest in your akhirah. So why won't you do that? Allah tells us in Surah Maryam, وَنَرِثُهُ مَا يَقُولُ وَيَأْتِينَا فَرْدًا That the people who brag about, you know, their wealth and their power, etc., Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we will inherit whatever that he's saying, meaning whatever that he's bragging about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be its ultimate heir. And this person will come to us farda alone. So we are going to return to Allah. And whatever we have is going to be taken away from us. Thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-warith, this means that He is the ultimate owner of all things, and He gives temporary ownership to whom He wills, and He can also take it away whenever that He wills. Yani, if we have something, it's because Allah has given it. If someone has something, it's because Allah has given it to them. But ultimately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives, and He can take it away whenever that He wants. So we learned in Surah Al-Qasas, ayah 58, I mentioned this verse earlier about how people who were arrogant and boastful about the blessings that Allah had given them, right? They lived very arrogantly. What happened? They were removed from the earth, and their homes were not inhabited after them. وَكُنَّا نَحْنُ الْوَارِثِينَ. And ultimately, it is Allah who is the inheritor. We learn in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 128, that Musa alayhi salam, he said to his people, the Bani Israel, when they were in slavery in Egypt, he said to them that istareenu billahi wasbiru, seek the help of Allah and be patient. And yes, you're going through a very difficult time, that you have been enslaved and you are being tortured and you're living in so much difficulty. Yes, this is hard, but seek the help of Allah and be patient. Do not give up hope. Do not despair. Yes, you are powerless today and Fir'aun is so powerful, but remember that إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ, the earth belongs to Allah, يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. And He causes it to be inherited by whomever that He wants among His slaves. Meaning He gives it to His slaves. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِيمِ. And the ultimate good outcome is for those people who fear Allah. So if someone has any power, any prestige, any ownership, it's because Allah has given it to them. And when He has given it to them, He can also take it away. So this means that we should not fear the creation. When we see people in positions of power, right, with a whole lot of resources, we should not be afraid of them. Remember that Allah is the one who has given them their power. And these people are going to one day lose their power because Allah is al-waris. In Surah Al-Anbiya, ayah 105, we learn, وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. That the earth, the land, is such that Allah will cause it to be inherited by who? By Allah's righteous servants. And this can be the land of this world and definitely the land of the hereafter, meaning Jannah. That is for who? It will be inherited by Allah's righteous slaves. Then we learn in Surah Al-Shu'ara, verse 57 to 59, about how Fir'aun, he had so much, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes, فَأَخْرَجْنَاهُمْ مِنْ جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ. We brought them out, meaning Fir'aun and his people, from among gardens and springs, وَكُنُوزٍ, and from all of their treasures, وَمَقَامٍ كَرِيمٍ, and from all of their high noble statuses and high noble places in which they used to live, in which they used to sit. كَذَلِكَ وَأَوْرَثْنَاهَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. And what happened? The entire civilization of Fir'aun basically came to an end. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused that to be inherited by the Bani Israel. So this is something that is repeated many times in the Quran about how there were people who were oppressed, who had nothing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-warith, He allowed them, He enabled them to inherit the things of the world, and the good things of this world, and then eventually they were also taken away from them. So no matter what we have, remember that we have it for some time, because Allah is ultimately the waris. And part of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives the inheritance of His book, of the book that He has revealed, meaning He allows some people to be honored by having the Book of Allah in their lives. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the knowledge of the Book of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the ability to believe in it, the ability to understand it, the ability to follow it, the ability to read it, to recite it. So this is also a gift from Allah, right, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to his slaves. So we learn in Surah Ghafir, ayah 53 to 54, that وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْهُدَى وَأَوْرَثْنَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْكِتَابِ, that we certainly gave to Musa guidance and we caused the Bani Israel to inherit the scripture. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the scripture. So they had the scripture, the Torah, with them, generation after generation. In Surah Fatir, ayah 32, we learn, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا, that then we caused the scripture to be inherited by those slaves of ours whom we chose. Yani, if someone has been given the Book of Allah, right, whether it is that you have been given the ability to believe in it, the ability to recite it or memorize it or understand it or follow it, yani, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special favor. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-waris, this also means that he is the one who will give inheritance of paradise to whom he wants. Yani, because al-waris also means ultimate owner, right? So he is the one who owns the land of paradise, and he can cause anyone among his servants to inherit a portion of it. So we learn in Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse number 10, that أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ, that the believers, they are the ones who are inheritors. They are truly the heirs. What is it that they will inherit? الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. In the next verse, they are those who will inherit al-firdaus. Not just Jannah, the highest level of Jannah. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And they will remain therein eternally. And we see this in many places in the Quran where, you know, the matter of paradise is described in terms of inheritance. And that is because when it comes to inheritance, meaning the wealth that you inherit, this is something that you get legally, you get easily, and you get in such a way that, you know, you don't need to feel any guilt about it, right? So for example, if you inherit, a whole lot of money, $50,000, $20,000, if someone were to give that as a gift to you, like, you know, even a relative were to give $50,000 as a gift to you, you would feel very burdened by that gift. You would feel extremely guilty about it. You wouldn't want to accept it. But if the same amount or more comes as inheritance, you are 100% fine with taking it. You don't hesitate taking it because you know that it is your right. So the people of Jannah, the reason why the word inheritance has been used, one of the benefits is that the people of Jannah will not be made to feel guilty or bad about the blessings that they're enjoying in Jannah. Because you see in this world, even when you go to the best restaurant and you're eating, you still have something at the back of your mind that I have to pay for this, right? I have to pay for this service. I have to pay for this food. So that kind of ruins the enjoyment. So when it comes to paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained this. He said that there is none among you except that he has two destinations. And every single person has two destinations in the hereafter. A destination in paradise and a destination in hellfire. Every single person. And think about yourself. You have a home in Jannah waiting for you, and you also have a home in hell. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the Prophet ﷺ explained that when a person dies and he enters the fire, right, that his home in the fire, his destination in hellfire, is where he will be then. Well, what about his destination in paradise? What's going to happen to that? So that is going to be then inherited by who? By the people of paradise. It's going to now be taken by the people of paradise, meaning the other people who will enter Jannah. So he explained, فَذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ. That is what the verse أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ means. We learn in Surah Az-Zumar, verse number 74, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people of Jannah, that when they will enter Jannah, they will say, أَلْحَمْدُلِلَّهِ الَّذِي صَدَقَنَا وَعْدَهُ. All praise to Allah who was truthful to us in His promise. وَأَوْرَثَنَا الْأَرْضَ. And He caused us to inherit the land. نَتَبَوَّأُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ. And we can inhabit, we can live in paradise wherever that we want. فَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. How excellent is the reward of those who work. We learn in Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 43, that the people of paradise will be told, وَنُودُوا أَن تِلْكُمُ الْجَنَّةُ أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. They'll be told that this is Jannah, which you have been caused to inherit because of what you used to do. In Surah Maryam, Ayah 63, تِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي نُورِثُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا مَنْ كَانَتْ تَقِيَّةً. That this is paradise which we will cause to be inherited by those servants of ours who are taqi, who are God-fearing, who have taqwa, who live with the consciousness of Allah. So these are some meanings of the name Al-Waris. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Waris, then what is our share? What are we supposed to do? Of course, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Waris, but then we should also make sure that we do not attach our hearts to the things of this world. Because if we attach our hearts to the things of this world, then of course we're going to be disappointed. Of course we're going to be sad. And the more attached we are to the things of the world, the greater our disappointment and sadness and frustration and anger will be. Now, it's only natural that, you know, we get attached to the things of the world. Of course we do. We like them. We are surrounded by them. How can we not be attached to them? But it is necessary to be aware of this attachment and to consciously try to detach ourselves from the things of the world. And by that, I don't mean that, you know, leave the things of the world. Well, your body is one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you in this world, right? How are you supposed to detach yourself from the body? That's not the meaning, that you physically leave the things of the world. What is meant is that you consciously do those things which will reduce your love for the things of this world. Because ultimately, sooner or later, the things that you have, they are going to be taken away from you. They're going to go to al-waris, right? They're not going to stay with you forever. So what are some things that we can do to make sure that our hearts don't get overly attached to the things of this world? Well, one of the things is that we should consciously try to spend from them for the sake of Allah. Right? Give them, not all of them, at least some of them, at a regular basis for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, for example, when you get that cheesecake, right? And you're like, yes, I'm going to enjoy that. Make sure that, you know, sometimes, once in a while, you give that to someone else to enjoy, right? When you buy something in groceries, many times you will see that right at the exit, there will be a food donation bin, right? So that cereal box that you bought for yourself, right? As you're leaving, put it in the donation bin. Why? Because this will help you keep that love and attachment in control. Because if it gets out of control, then we are the ones who will suffer. We are the ones who will be hurt. Of course, you know, feeling hurt because of loss, feeling pain because of loss, this is something normal. It's not bad. It's not wrong to feel sad. Of course it's not. But, you know, if we are very attached to the things of the world, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. But what happens is that loss, that the pain caused by loss can become overwhelming, and it can be it can literally consume us, right? So what happens then is that people begin to get upset with Allah. They are not able to accept the decree of Allah, right? They begin to question Allah's wisdom, and they become consumed by their grief, so they're not able to do anything else. So it's necessary that we make sure that, or we consciously try to make sure that our hearts do not get attached to the things of the world. And one of the ways in which we can exercise that is by giving of what we love. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You can never attain the good reward until you spend out of what you love. You give out of what you love, meaning the things that you especially love, you give from them, right? You give some of them away. That is how you will attain the good reward. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-waris, then remember that this means that He is the ultimate owner, right? He has only lent us these things for some time. So He is the ultimate owner. Everything belongs to Him. Therefore, we should accept His authority, we should accept His decree, and we should accept the distribution of the things of this world, right? The way that He has distributed them among people. And you stop being angry and stop being jealous. This doesn't mean that you don't strive to have what will benefit you, to seek what will benefit you. Of course you do. But don't live in anger and jealousy and always envying the people who have been given more or who have been given what you want, right? Because Allah is al-warith, He is the ultimate owner, and He gives and He transfers and He takes away. This is His decision, right? Our decision is to do the best that we can with the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-waris, we should also take care of the things that He has entrusted us with. Because you see, ultimately these things, whatever that we have, is going to be returned to who? To Allah azza wa jal, right? You know, when you are, for example, renting a house, even if you're leasing a car, you know that one day you're going to return it to its owner, right? It's not going to stay with you forever. You have to return it. How do you live in that house? You live so carefully. Even if you want to hang some paintings on the wall, you don't do that. Why? Because you don't want to damage the walls, right? Because you know that the more damage you will cause to the walls, the more money you're going to have to pay at the end to make up for any damages, right? You live so carefully because you know that it doesn't actually belong to you. And just like that, this earth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to live in, this is an amana with us. And we have to take care of it. We have to live responsibly, right? We cannot live in such a way that, we're constantly causing damage to the earth. We're constantly, creating pollution. Yes, it's not possible to live in a way that you don't, cause any change to the earth at all. Of course you will, your existence, you eat food, you produce garbage, but be careful, right? And reduce the negative impact that you're making on the earth. And there are some changes that, you can easily make to your lifestyle to make sure that the damage that you're causing is at least minimized. If it's not completely eliminated, at least it can be minimized, right? For example, there can be some things that you can decide that you're not going to use. For example, when it comes to, you know, plastic wrap, right? Or plastic bags, you know, all the time, if we're using them, we're creating so much garbage that's not going to go away for hundreds of years. So find alternatives. And it is possible to find alternatives. For every little thing, don't go on and pull out, you know, a Ziploc bag, for example, in the kitchen, right? And then dispose of it all the time, because you're producing garbage that's not going to go away, right? Likewise, when it comes to plastic straws, right? They can easily be replaced by what? By nothing. And you don't need a straw all the time. Yes, in certain situations, a straw is needed. And in that case, try to get reusable ones. Try to use the paper ones. And we have to realize that the things that Allah has given us, ultimately, they're going to be returned to Allah. So in what shape, in what form are we going to return them to Allah? And isn't it so embarrassing? The way that we're living, it is so irresponsible that with what face are we going to say to Allah that, yes, yeah Allah, we're done using them. These are now yours. What are we doing? We have to be responsible. And not just the earth, even our bodies, right? Our abilities. Use your body responsibly. It doesn't mean that you become so careful that you don't do anything, but take care of this body. Don't damage it on purpose, right? Don't neglect it. Take care of it. So when everything is going to return to Allah, let us take care of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted us with. And then let us also spend out of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, because we have these things temporarily. Eventually, they are going to be taken away from us. But what we spend in the way of Allah, that is going to be saved for us forever. You see, what we have, Allah gave it to us. If you yourself give it back to Allah, that, ya Allah, I do this for you. I do this for your sake. I'm giving this for your religion, for the causes that you love. You willingly give. You are investing it. Right? And that, inshallah, will be given back to you in the best form and in a much more increased form, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He will multiply it, right? He will cause it to double, to increase, to multiply. Adhafan mudha'afa, adhafan kathira, multiplied many times over. So in a hadith, we learned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this hadith is in Muslim, that the person says, my wealth, right? And this is something that we also say all the time, my phone, my computer, my house, my car, right? And we're so proud of saying things like that, my stuff, my room, right? My this, my that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whatever he has, right, is only of three kinds. And that is what he ate and used up. So what is truly yours, right, is what you consumed, what you used up. أو لبس فأبلى, or he wore, right, that you wear something and then it can't be worn by someone else because you wore it until it died, right? Or the third is what you give, right? What you give in the way of Allah, that is truly yours, because you will find it. And whatever is besides that, anything else that you have in your life besides that, that's not really yours. You're going to leave it for who? For your heirs. Think about it. Think about all the things that you own. What you for example, every month you earn some money. Out of that money, whatever money you spend in groceries and you use up, okay, it was yours. You bought clothes and you wore those clothes until they died, right? So yes, that was yours. And then you spent some of it in sadaqah, right? That is yours. Everything else that's going in the savings account, right? that's going to become someone else's sooner or later. That's not really yours. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't leave anything for our heirs. Of course, we have to. But the point is that don't think that what you have sitting in your savings account or the property that you have in your name is always going to be yours. No, it has only been given to you for some time. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-warith, we should also live in servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Because this life is a temporary journey. And this life is such that whatever we have, you know, we have it temporarily. So live your life in servitude to Allah and don't make this world your ultimate focus. Don't make your ultimate dream to own a fancy house, right? Your ultimate dream should not be to own a fancy car. That should not be your goal. Your real goal should be of the hereafter, right? In a hadith, we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kun fid dunya ka annaka gharibun aw abiru sabil," that live in this world as if you were a stranger or a passerby. Right now, of course, this doesn't mean that don't enjoy anything of this world and don't wear nice things, etc. No, that of course is going to be a part of your life, but it should not be your ultimate concern, so that you're spending hours finding the best deal and hours, you know, just window shopping and finding the thing that will match the most, that will look nicest, right? And then so much of your money is going into purchasing it. And then so much of your time and energy is going into maintaining it. Yani, be careful. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-waris, then remember that when it comes to our wealth, yes, we're not going to own it forever. It's going to be, we are going to leave it because we're going to die, right? And then there is a law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated with regard to inheritance, that how should someone's property be distributed when they die? And this law of inheritance, we should observe and we should respect. Meaning we should not violate it. We don't have the right to distribute our wealth however that we please. There is a law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. We learn in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 14, that وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا. That whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, and this verse is mentioned after the verses of inheritance, after the law of inheritance has been made clear. So then a warning is given that whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, meaning does not follow the law of inheritance, and this person transgresses the limits that Allah has set, then such a person, Allah will put him in the fire. Allah will cause this person to enter the fire. So remember, we cannot distribute our wealth as we please, because some people like to do that, right? They say that, no, I have a son and a daughter and I want both of them to get equal shares, right? But that's not what the law of Allah says. Likewise, some people think that, you know, women should not get anything. So many times mothers will, you know, tell their daughters that, please don't take anything, just leave it all to your brothers, right? Let your father's property go to your brothers. You don't take anything. And that is contrary to the law of Allah. So we have to be very careful. We learn in a hadith about how Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he was very unwell and he was afraid that he was going to die soon. So he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that allow me to distribute my wealth however that I want. And he allow me that I leave my wealth for the person that I want to leave it to. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam refused. He refused. And the, you know, Sa'd radiallahu anhu asked that, can I please at least give half of my wealth to whomever that I want? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam refused. He said a third, only a third, and even a third is too much. So and in another narration, we learned that Sa'd radiallahu anhu mentioned that, you know, my heirs are wealthy, they have enough, you know, they're living good, they don't need my wealth, they can do without it. I want my wealth, my property to go to someone else. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that that only leave a third in your will for a non-heir. Because if you leave your family, your heirs wealthy, then that is better. Even if they have money and you think that they're good, still what is rightfully theirs is rightfully theirs. You are not allowed to take it away from them just because you want to give your wealth to someone else. So we have to be careful about that. And then we should also strive to, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-warith and He gives the inheritance of His book to whomsoever He wills, then we should strive to become the heirs of the book of Allah. Remember that the prophets of Allah, they did not leave behind gold and silver to be, inherited by their family. The inheritance of the prophets, the estate that the prophets leave behind, is knowledge, especially the knowledge of the book of Allah. So in hadith, we learn that whoever acquires the book of Allah, the knowledge of the book of Allah, then such a person has in fact acquired an abundant portion. Yani, think about it. We inherit many things. We receive many things, right? From our employers, from our family members, from our parents. They give us gifts in their life. And people whose parents have passed away, those people inherit from the property of their parents. But out of all the things that you can receive, the most valuable share of all the things that you can receive is actually the book of Allah. Because that share is coming to you from who? From the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was given that from who? From Allah azza wa jal. Right. So be eager to have a share of religious knowledge, to have a share of the book of Allah. Right. We learned that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, once he, found some people and he said that, what are you guys doing? When the estate of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being distributed in the masjid. So those people became really eager and they rushed to the masjid, to get something. Because they thought that the estate of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant, his belongings, the things that he left behind. So when they went to the masjid, they only found some people, talking about, what is halal, what is haram, and some people were praying and some other people were reciting the Quran. So they went back to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu and they're like, what were you talking about? We didn't find any property being distributed over there. We just found some people praying and some people reciting Quran and some people talking about, discussing what is halal, what is forbidden. So Abu Hurairah said, وَيْحَكُمْ فَذَاكَ مِرَاثُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He said, woe to you, that exactly is the estate of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. That exactly is what he left behind. So go and participate in that. Go and learn the recitation of the Quran. Go and learn about the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So don't just be eager for the things of this dunya. Also be eager for sacred knowledge. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-warith, we should also strive to be of the inheritors of paradise. Because remember that that Allah will give that, al-warith will give that to whomsoever that He wants. So how can we be of those people who get a home in Jannah? Because when we think about inheritance, right, typically we think about the house that, the deceased left behind, right? So how can we get a home in Jannah? First of all, we see that in a hadith that whoever performs 12 raka'at, and this is the voluntary raka'at, the sunnah prayers basically, every day, and whoever persists in performing them every day, then Allah will build for him a house in Jannah. And how are these 12? 4 before Dhuhr, and then 2 after Dhuhr, and then 2 after Maghrib, and 2 after Isha, and 2 before Fajr. So 12 raka'at, voluntary prayer, every day. Whoever persists on it, then Allah will build for this person a house in Jannah. Then visit someone purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith, we learned that whoever visits the sick or visits his brother in Allah, a caller calls out that may you have goodness and may your livelihood be good, and may you dwell in a home in Jannah. Also, build a masjid. In a hadith, we learn that whoever builds a masjid for the sake of Allah, even if it is as small as a sparrow's nest, and the specific bird that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, this bird actually makes its nest on the ground. It doesn't even make it on the tree. It makes it on the ground, right? And it is so humble. It is so simple. And it doesn't even have, of course, a nest does not even have a roof, right? So whoever makes a masjid for the sake of Allah, even if it is a very humble, small place of prayer, right, then Allah will build for him a house in Jannah. Recite Surah Al-Ikhlas. In hadith, we learn that whoever recites Surah Qul Hu Allahu Ahad 10 times, Allah will build for him a house in Jannah. And Umar radiallahu anhu said that this way we will get many houses in Jannah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allahu akthar wa atyab, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has even more. There's no shortage of things with Allah. And then also feed people. In a hadith, we learned that in Jannah, there are rooms, the outside of which can be seen from inside, and the inside can be seen from outside, like glass windows. And the Prophet ﷺ said that these are prepared for those who speak nicely, for those people who speak gently, right? For those who give food to others, and those who fast frequently, and who pray during the night when people are asleep. In another narration, these houses have been prepared for who? لِمَنْ أَطْعَمَ الطَّعَامِ, for those who give food to others. وَأَفْشَى السَّلَامِ, who spread the salam. وَصَلَّى بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامِ, and who prays in the night when people are sleeping. So this is something that the reward of which is a house in Jannah. And then in difficult times, be patient and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith, we learn about how when a person's baby dies, right? When a Muslim's baby dies, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks his angels that, did you take away the child of my servant? Did you cause my servant's baby to die? And did you take the soul away? And the angels say yes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them that, did you take away the fruit of his heart? A baby is so dear to the parents, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks that, did you take away the fruit of his heart? And the angels say yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them, what did my servant say? What was his response? And Allah already knows, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks anyway, because when something is mentioned, that means it is being given a whole lot of importance. So the angels reply that your servant praised you, right? And said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Right, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, build for him a house in Jannah. Build for my servant a house in Jannah and call it Bayt al-Hamd, the house of praise, meaning those who praise Allah, even in the most difficult times. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us in his afiyah, in his well-being. But when disaster strikes, whether it is some bad news or some loss, any kind of difficulty, the moment it strikes us, say Alhamdulillah. That should be the first word that comes out of your mouth. Alhamdulillah. All praise to Allah. This happened by Allah's decree, his knowledge, his wisdom. He allowed it to happen. He does not make a mistake. Allah does not forget. لا يضل ربي ولا ينسى, right? So there is good in this. I trust his decision. He is perfect. Alhamdulillah. and say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and call upon Allah Azza wa Jal. And then another thing we can do is remember Allah when entering the market, right? Even when you go for groceries, for example, in a hadith we learn that whoever enters the market, right, and then he says la ilaha illallah, meaning at the time of entering the market he says la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, yuhyi wa yumit, wa huwa hayyun la yamut, biyadihi alkhair, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. And in one version, بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرُ كُلُّهُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Then among the rewards and the forgiveness of sins, another benefit is that Allah will build for him a house in Jannah. Because you see, when we're going to the market, we're being so greedy for the things of the world. We're so excited, get this, get that, you know, find this, find that. And at that time, you remember the greatness of Allah, right? And you remember that all good is in Allah's hand. Yani, this is something special. Another thing we can do is that when there is a saf, when there is a row, and there is a gap in the row, go fill that gap. Of course, this is when physical distancing is not required. But when you see a gap, then fill that gap. Because in a hadith, we learn that whoever fills a furja, right, meaning a gap in the saf, that Allah will build for him a house in Jannah. And we might think that, oh, this is something, you know, it's not that big of a deal, but it actually is. It really is, because a lot of times what happens is that people keep waiting for others, that you go fill the gap, somebody else will fill the gap, right? And then when you fill the gap, there's always that fear that what if the people, you know, on either side get annoyed? What if they get upset with me? What if they yell at me? What if they don't want me to stand there? So there's that fear, but you fill that gap because the gap, you know, the rows should be made properly. So you do that for the sake of Allah and look at the reward. And then also leave an argument for the sake of Allah. Right? Yani, don't be stubborn in your argument, even when you know that you are right and the other is wrong. Even then. Why stop arguing? Because if you continue to argue, it's going to bring about more harm than the good you think you can bring by proving to the other that you are right. I will repeat that when you continue to argue, when you know you are right, you cause damage. And that damage is far greater than the benefit you could bring by proving to the other that you are right. So in a hadith we learn, the Prophet ﷺ said, I guarantee a house in the surroundings of paradise for a person who avoids arguing, right? Who stops an argument, taraka al-mira, who left an argument, right? Even though he knew he was right, but he didn't want to argue, right? And he did not become stubborn in that argument, because this kind of argument, it doesn't bring much benefit. It only damages the relationship. It causes a person to increase in their ego, in their arrogance, right? And in trying to prove yourself right, sometimes you become angry, you become annoyed, and you say things which are hurtful, and you cause damage, right? So the person who gives up such arguments, right, then he will get a house in the surroundings of paradise. And then tasbihat, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that once he was sowing a plant, right, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he asked him that, oh Abu Hurairah, what are you doing, right? And he said that I am planting a plant for me, right? I'm sowing this for myself. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, shall I not tell you of a plant that is better than this? Meaning what you're doing is good, but should I tell you about a plant that is even better than this? And he said, of course, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. For each one, a tree will be planted for you in Jannah. Yani, this is what you will get in Jannah. So don't you want to inherit all of that property? So increase in your tasbihat. And of the treasures of Jannah is la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is how you get truly rich. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Last section, very quickly, how can we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by this name? First of all, mention this name Al-Waris in your du'as, right? Because one of the ways in which we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَ, right? That seek wasila, meaning the means of closeness to Him. So when you're making du'a, don't just express what you want. In addition to that, in your du'a, mention those things which will cause your du'a to be accepted, faster, right? That will make your du'a even more honorable in the sight of Allah. And one of those things that we can do is, or one of the ways in which we can adopt correct wasila, is that we mention the names of Allah when we're making du'a. So mention the name Al-Waris when you're making du'a. And this is something that Zakariya alayhi salam did, right? So in Surah Al-Anbiya, ayah 89, we learn that he said, رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. That, Ya Rab, do not leave me alone, and you are the best of those who inherit, meaning you are the ultimate owner. Right, and you are the one who gives and who takes and who prevents and who bestows. You are the waris. I am going to perish soon. You can give me what I want. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Rab, grant me a child. And we learn in the next verse, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ يَحْيَى, that we responded to him and we gifted him Yahya. Right, so Yahya alayhi salam, of course, his son, Zakariya alayhi salam's son, and also a prophet of Allah. So use this name in your du'as when you want something, right? And then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you of those who inherit Jannah. Ibrahim alayhi salam made du'a. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Shu'ara, verse 83 to 85. He said, Rabbi habli hukman wa alhiqni bis salihin. وَجَعَلْ لِي لِسَانَ صِدِقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ وَجَعَلْنِي مِنْ وَرَثَةِ جَنَّةِ النَّعِيمِ. So we can also say this, that, oh my Lord, grant me authority. And hukm is also understood as not just authority, but judgment, right? So grant me authority and join me with the righteous, and grant me a reputation of honor among later generations, and place me among the inheritors of the garden of pleasure. Make me among the heirs of Jannatin Na'im. وَجْعَلْنِي مِنْ وَرَثَةِ Jannatin Na'im. And then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Waris, to allow you to benefit from your body until you die. That let your body, your abilities, your faculties, they remain sound until the end of your life. And this dua is from the sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray, Allahumma matti'ni bi sam'i wa basari, that, oh Allah, allow me to benefit from my hearing and from my vision. وَجَعَلْهُمَ al-waritha minni, and make them my heirs, meaning cause them to outlive me. And cause them to be sound and intact until I die. That they don't finish before me. I finish before them. I die before them. And then the dua continues, وَانْصُرْنِي عَلَى مَنْ يَظْلِمُنِي وَخُذْ مِنْهُ بِثَأْرِي, where you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid you and defend you against those who oppress you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.